Hello and welcome once again to another X-Ray with Dr. Tom. We are back this week ready to review another I Quit match. Dr. Tom, how you doing this week?
Doing great, Paul. I'm looking forward to this match just as much as you are, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely looking forward to it. As we were scouring, looking for some matches, we did the Magnum Tully I Quit match last week. That was a lot of fun, one that I definitely remember. But how can when you talk I Quit, this is the other one that I think of. Ric Flair, Terry Funk, it's Clash of the Champions 9, November of 1989, and this was big time, and I know you're familiar with both of these guys.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you get any better, especially during this time period, in this position, the main event position. Ric Flair as a world champion was on fire. Terry Funk as a former world champion and middle-aged and crazy was on fire. The events leading up to this match were laid out great. And I think if anybody could have pulled it off, should have pulled it off, it was Flair and Terry Funk, no doubt about it.
Well, there we go. Well, listen, let's jump into this one. We have the link available below the post here where this is dropped today for you to watch along at your leisure. At the link, we're going to start at 2 minutes and 2 seconds. And Dr. Tom, let's get into this one. If you're ready to go, we'll do the countdown. You are good to go. All right, let's do that. So in 3, 2, 1, play. And we see Gary Hart exiting the ring here, and the match is about to begin.
Yeah, for everyone who only had the opportunity to see Terry Funk at this stage of his career, Terry was always a unique performer, and there were people who tried to emulate him, people who tried to mimic what Terry did, but he was the only guy who could really come across with this crazy, goofy persona and do crazy things like this and get away with it. People just realized that was Terry Funk. And outside the ring, he was just as wild as he was inside the ring. But
yeah, throwing those haymakers at the fans.
Oh, wait a minute, man. This just stopped on me here. There we go. Okay.
I got it. You're good?
Yes, sir. This whatever we have going. But both of these guys come into the ring like they're ready to wrestle, ready to fight. And I think the fans knew this was going to be a fight. Terry Funk had that style, and people knew when they walked in it wasn't going to be catch-as-catch-can. It was going to be the Terry Funk bumps, the Terry Funk movement, body language. And they knew they were going to see some crazy stuff. He wasn't adverse to grabbing a photographer at ringside, obviously. So good stuff here, though.
Just like last week's I Quit match, Flair's coming in with some intensity. This is a brawl. Let me set the stage for some of you who may have not been as familiar with this time period or watching it at this point. So this one was actually covered recently on a Grilling JR. They did the Terry Funk episode. But it started with Funk doing commentary with Jim Ross for the NWA. And as Flair was being interviewed after he defeats Ricky Steamboat at WrestleWar 89, Funk asks for a shot at Flair. So Funk jumps in the ring. He's got his suit on. He says, "I want a shot at you." Tells him that he's been wrestling. He's been waiting for a long time, and he wants to get in line, and he wants his shot. Flair kind of talked him off a little bit, and then Funk attacked him, hit him with the pile driver on a table, which many of you have to remember that spot. It was one of the bigger table spots during this time frame. And the talk is Flair may have to retire. But he would interview later on, through this retirement talk, and Terry Funk would attack again and try to suffocate him with a plastic bag. So it's red hot. They're building all this heat. Funk suspended for $100,000. Flair pays for it so he can get his hands on him. And here is the culmination of that here in the Omni at Clash 9. So a nice build up to this one. And now this is the payoff with the I Quit match.
The great thing about both of these guys, they went out there and they might have known the finish and they might have known how they were going to start, but everything else is feeling and going out and getting the feel for the crowd, getting the feel for how the match should flow. And this is what every pro should aspire to do, not have to go out and call every move or practice every move in the back before you go out to have your match. Unfortunately, this model doesn't exist anymore because both Flair and Terry Funk learned on the job, and they were in the ring with guys better than themselves. And right now they're two world champion athletes in professional wrestling, and Flair just happens to have the title. But Terry Funk was unique, and anybody who got in the ring with him knew you never knew what to expect. So you went in the ring with that understanding that you're going to be in a fight. He's going to hit you with his left hand, and he's going to be different than anybody else you ever worked with. So both of these guys had that intensity, and that's hard to, you can't just manufacture that. That's going to come from inside.
I remember the great thing about this too, Dr. Tom, this was a clash. Clashes were always on television. So that this was on TBS. We got to watch this on free TV. And so this was felt like as a youngster, this was big time. I think I was about 12 years old when this match was on, and it was like, let's get the pizza ordered and we're going to watch a big show on for free on right. TBS. And man, they delivered.
Well, one other thing, aspect we're leaving out of this match, I really mentioned too much, was Gary Hart at yes. ringside. You know, Gary Hart was a classic manager for years in the Texas area, and he worked for the Funks, Terry Funk's dad, Dory Funk Sr. Gary worked in Amarillo in his early career, and, as a wrestler, and then he migrated to East Texas, and that's where he made most of his notoriety came from, I guess, his booking in East Texas, Dallas, and that area, Houston, those towns are around the world-class booking area. So having Gary Hart at ringside with Terry Funk, a lot of people say, why would Terry need someone like that? Well, I don't know that he needed anyone like that, but I think Gary Hart sure added to the heat with Terry Funk. And you'll notice that there is a spot real quick, Paul, before I forget, there's a spot in here where everybody will pick up on it too. As Terry is by the barricade, you'll see Gary run over just to protect his guy. Gary was an actual manager, for the guys, not only in the ring, but outside the ring, kind of like a Jim Cornette, because Cornette does the same thing as a manager inside and outside the ring.
So, and when you say outside the ring, meaning, you know, travel, overseeing, yes. all that type of stuff for these
yes.
guys.
Yes, if you needed something done, took care of the bookings, did what he had to do, he was actual a big help and took his job seriously. Hmm. And Gary Hart, I think this might be the spot, it's coming up. It's around this spot where I just noticed Gary came right over and rushed over and to make sure nobody was gonna touch his guy. So,
Dr. Tom, I'm at about 9 minutes, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Just for those following along to make sure you know where we're at. We might be off a little bit. I think you had
I just see Flair now pulling Terry outside the ring.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're still close to it. And again, Terry Funk doing crazy things outside. Nobody else did. Ooh. Yeah, that body language, the punching, the throwing, and you know, a lot of people didn't want anybody to touch Gary Hart. You know, he went down in a plane crash. In the 70s with Buddy Colt, Bobby Shane, and Dennis McCord. And he was, a lot of people said, hey, don't touch Gary. He's not in great shape. He don't want to take bumps. He doesn't want to be messed with. But, you know, in a match like this, I don't think Gary minded one bit just to be able to get a piece of the action.
Interesting. Two of the three main character guys in this match, both in the plane crashes in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
the Flair was in two plane crashes, by the way.
Mm-mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. And the story goes, he was struck by lightning too. Now, I don't know if that's the true one, but I think I do believe he was. He was struck by lightning as he was. Wow. So this guy, Ric Flair, he's the real deal. He's been in places and done things that 90% of us wouldn't do, couldn't do, wouldn't want to do.
Or survive,
yes. Because this guy, I think of all the world champions, and I've had the privilege of knowing of quite a few since I got in the business and been out having a beverage or two, but Ric Flair takes the cake for all the guys I've seen. Man, he could do everything all night long and get up the next day and perform in the ring at a world-class level. And it was amazing. I still think Rick's a robot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at us today, right? We need so much caffeine just to kind of wake up and talk to one another.
Yeah.
Let alone wrestle.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I learned. You know, I did learn. You know, I tried my best. And I was trying to get my Ric Flair merit badge, too. And, I don't think
you tried your best.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Here we go. Funk has him up for a pile driver. That's where I'm at. And I'm at about 11:38. That's, again, a move you never see in the WWE anymore. They've kind of out.
Well, once again, in some of the areas, some of the territories back in the 80s, Memphis territory being one of them, the pile driver was actually outlawed. And you could be fined, disqualified, barred, suspended, whatever. But with this match, it's an I Quit match. So really, you had no rules. And if back in the day, if you gave someone a pile driver, they were usually out for at least a couple weeks, and they would sell the injury. But this being the 80s, mid 80s, 85, obviously the genetics and engineering of all the nutrition and say your prayers and eat your vitamins, I think there's a whole different way of looking at taking a pile driver. Now Funk wants to pile drive Rick on the floor.
Yeah, I don't care what vitamins you're taking. Nothing's going to help you with that.
Well, I disagree because, you know, you try some later on that night. But anyway.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. So here, but here, once again, you know, a pile driver out on the floor, at least they're selling and registering what's going on. So I don't think you could do this today. Nobody would understand how to do it or comprehend, I don't think.
Yeah, that red carpet there. And by the way, you have senior official Tommy Young, who's overseeing this one. So all the key players are involved here for this matchup. And they had that red carpet look that came down to the middle of the ring. That's where these two are battling. This is not a catch-as-catch-can type match either. It's not another Bret Hart excellence of execution. This is, again, a brawl. It's for an I Quit match. They want to beat the hell out of each other, and they're using everything, including the mic and everything else outside of the ring. And this is Terry Funk. This is his style. This is what he likes to do.
But if you notice how both of these guys are taking their time, there's a forearm across the back, and then Terry lets it breathe. Here comes an elbow. And again, Rick takes a bump. Terry lets it breathe. He's not just smothering Ric Flair with punches and kicks. Everything Terry does, Rick sells, and Terry lets impact. It breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is another great lesson in learning psychology and timing. But I've heard it before from here. I think this is a spot I was talking about where Gary comes and
Comes the table into play. He just slammed Flair on it. Now he's yanking the table around.
Yes.
And
yeah,
you're at the 14, 28, 29, 30 minute mark.
Yes. Again. He's got that table set up with the legs sticking out.
That's the wrong way to have it set up.
Yeah. Well, you'll see why. You'll see why. I think he's setting this up. And
chop by Flair. Vicious. Oh, you could feel it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're taking chops like that, do you just become like numb to it at all, or every single one is just?
You learn to either love it or hate it, and I loved it. Danny Davis, it's one of those things that, especially in the heat of the battle, and you hear it and you feel it, and the people feel it with you, and you just go, "Holy Christ!" And people say, "How do you do that?" Well, you just do it. It's not. It's something you have to. It's something you have to build up to. And but once it gets going, it gets going. Yeah.
Throws Funk across the table. He slides headfirst into
Go. Here's Gary coming Hart. Over.
Yeah, slung around to the ground he goes, and he gets up at Flair. Flair with the elbow to the back of Gary Hart. They're tussling. The old ladies are yelling. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Rick was saying, get out of my way. We're done.
More chops to the outside. Gary Hart's talking to Tommy Young here. Lots of action outside the ring, man. They're pulling him right back outside again. And this is going to be, the classic atomic drop over the railing right into the crotch.
Yeah. So, again, Terry's going to sell it like nobody else. And the chops.
There he goes. And just crawling around on his knees. Thanking God that all of his children have already been born, and because that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if he's thanking God for it, but he could be asking God why. Yeah, why right now, you know? But Rick, he knows what to do next. And I think
slow, methodical, to your point earlier.
Yes. And it's the fact that the people are educated as to what Flair does, how it winds up. And Terry running out of the ring, landing on his head on the outside. Just again, classic Terry Funk, something probably, I wouldn't say nobody else would do, but at the same time, most people wouldn't. This was all Terry Funk style.
Were you, Dr. Tom, was there do you have a match, first of all? Cause again, we're just looking at this one here did you ever wrestle Terry Funk?
No, I wrestled Dory. In Amarillo with the tag. That was one of the regrets I never got to do, but the Heavenly Bodies with Jim Cornette, we got to wrestle Dory Funk Jr. and Dick Murdoch in Amarillo for a 50 years of Funk, or it was a Bret Hart. It was something to do with celebrating one of Terry's anniversaries, and we got we got to appear on that, and that was pretty good. But Terry was one I would always love to be in the ring with. Just for stuff like he's doing in here.
How about any kind of a tag? Did you end up with Nature Boy in the ring at all?
Yeah, I worked with Rick a couple times in Oregon too. That was
nice.
They would send the young guys to Oregon to get their feet wet too. And when Rick would come in, Don Owen used to book. He'd book Billy Jack Haynes or whoever his top babyface was in Portland, and let us go to the spot towns, spot shows, and work with the champion. Brett Sawyer, myself, or some of the younger guys, just to get the opportunity to say we got in the ring with the world champion.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
They're back on the outside of the ring now, and Flair's starting to go to work on the leg. You can tell now he's thinking about figure four time potentially. And
everybody knows the figure four. Everybody knows that's Rick's move, and everybody knows that that's his attack. And Terry Funk had the figure four, or had the spinning toe hold.
Spinning toe hold, that's right.
Yes, and everybody knew that too. But Flair, as a favorite, especially, working on the leg made perfect sense.
We are at 18:58, about ready to cross that 19-minute threshold. Again, they're just working over each other, and here goes Flair again back to the leg.
Yeah, and again, we talk about taking our time, letting it settle in, digesting, goes through that figure four. Terry's going to kick out, try to kick out, block, and not ready for it yet, so he's going to cut Flair off. They're taking their time. They're telling a story, and everybody in the building is watching. Everybody's into this match. Watch this, suplex on the apron, crazy bumps with this era.
And Flair right back to the leg again.
Well, that's a smart pro. Rick knows, the story being the leg and Terry throwing those haymakers and missing and holding onto the rope. The body language says it all. He's in a fight. And, now that the figure four is on, Flair knows he's got him.
It's all up to Terry Funk, man.
They know it. Everybody knows it.
Tommy Young. Oh, here he's yanking Tommy Young around like a rag doll, Terry Funk. But listen, you know, it was slow. It was a methodical. It was a different time, but we got there. Now the main, and people are on their feet. They sold. It let it breathe.
Yeah, well, this was where it was back then. They had faith in both of these guys, even though they might have known. And I'm sure there was a lot of people in the crowd standing on their feet right now and said, oh, it is what it is. But at the same time, these guys went out and busted their ass. Look at the reaction.
Yeah,
the people are going crazy. Gary Hart's going crazy. You know, he can't believe that his man lost.
That's right. Terry Funk has now quit the match due to the figure four. And boom, there's a big banner right in the sign that says, I quit. And Flair gets his revenge in a classic I quit match.
Well, the Funk family, and here Terry's, he has a microphone and said he's going to shake Ric Flair's hand because he's a hell of a man and hell of an athlete. But, you know, the Funk family, Dory Funk Sr., was known as the King of Texas Death Matches. He had won over 1,000 Texas Death Matches, or whatever they said. Maybe it was 500 back then. But I remember Dory Funk Sr. coming to Houston undefeated in the Texas Death Matches. And what happened? Jose Lothario beat him in a Texas Death Match, which I thought was the first time. But right here again, Terry Funk had never lost an I Quit match until, as far as anybody knew, this match right here. Now, Gary Hart was taking his lunch from Flair, and then Muda and the Dragon Master all come in to set up another angle. So this was a great thing about WCW at that time, too. They had the guys that could not only set up the angles but follow through, and Muda was red hot at this time as well.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so this made sense, and it had to be a blessing from Flair as well to say, yeah, I want to work with Muda. And Sting came in to save the day.
All hell's breaking loose. I love it.
Yes, all hell's breaking loose. Gary Hart's taking care of Terry on the other side of the ring while the Dragon Master and Flair and Sting are on the other side. So
we got a figure four on Muda. Sting's got the Scorpion Deathlock on the Dragon Master. The crowd's going crazy.
It's a melee. As it's a melee.
Is that, yeah, who's
a
that
melee.
Is that Brad Armstrong? Brad Armstrong's making his way into the ring.
No, that's Luger.
That's Luger. Yeah,
that's I couldn't Luger. See his name. Brad would love that he was mistaken for Luger, but yeah. Brad looked great. No, that's Luger, man. And,
yeah, he's got his hair still slicked. Couldn't tell at the
He's done working. He was on the early card, the undercard. So, you know.
Oh my goodness, what an ending to this one! I forgot about this. Mm-hmm. All hell breaking loose.
Yeah, all hell breaking loose. People are standing up, wanting to see what's going on, and. Terry Funk standing up. Now watch them cut from the they cut from the camera before Gary Hart nailed Terry with his own branding iron.
Branding iron into the leg.
Yeah. How in the world can this happen in a civilized society?
This isn't the
hour. This is what I'm saying. It can only happen down south.
Only in pro wrestling, man.
Yeah, well.
This is good stuff.
This was pro wrestling, by the way.
So. This was excitement. Brother, this is where I was at as a fan. And like you said, we went from one angle right into the next.
Right. And that's the way you
give us a reason to come back.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And these guys did.
All right. Well, Dr. Tom, overall diagnosis on this I quit match.
I got to tell you, it was one for that time period, again, that stands out. Because of Ric Flair, because of Terry Funk, both of these guys went in and took it as a serious match to both guys' reputation. And I thought it was a hell of a match, and we need more like that today.
I absolutely agree. That was it was classic. It was slow, methodical, but there was a great story leading into it, right? That was the key, the buildup.
Yes.
And then once we got there, everybody then wants to see the violence of an I quit match, but that's the key to making that work, I think.
Yeah, and I think the, as you said, the buildup, the drama before, just to get those guys in the ring and to have to do it to get it over with. And the only way to get it over with is say, I quit, because anybody knows when you quit, man, you can't show your face in that town anymore. Professional wrestling.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, that's going to wrap up this episode. We're coming back next week, and we're going back to the WWF days. It's WrestleMania. It's going to be the Bulldogs, the British Bulldogs versus the Dream Team from WrestleMania 2. This was a request from Lenny Bakken, I believe, and we have some folks that are throwing some requests out there for us. So we're looking forward to covering that one. Dr. Tom, I know you are as well.
Yes, I am. I love the British Bulldogs as a tag team. Always have. And Dynamite and Davey. They both should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
There you go. All right. Well, for Dr. Tom Pritchard, this is Paul Bromwell wrapping up another X-Ray with Dr. Tom. We'll see you next week.